Great job. All right, guys.
Thank you, bro.
So, remember last week, we talked about the three measures of the Holy Spirit. If you're a guest here today, you're welcome. We're doing a whole study on the Holy Spirit. And this is important. Why? Because we live in a country where the Holy Spirit has been mistaught. The Holy Spirit, sadly, in a lot of ways, is very confusing to a lot of people. And so today we're going to really review a little bit of last week and also continue forward. Turn over to John chapter 3.
Come on, bro.
I just want to make sure that we're solid on what we talked about from last week as we move forward. And of course, as you're teaching the study, you want to make sure the person gets it too. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So last week we talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we mentioned how there are three measures of the Holy Spirit, right? In the same way that, let's see if this one is still here. Ah, it's still here, thank God. We talked about, in the same way, God is three in one, right? H2O liquid, water. You have H2O exists in three phases, three measures. Water, vapor, ice, and liquid, but yet it's all still one H2O, right? You'd be surprised. When you do this study, I've actually done this study with people, and they're like, is Jesus God? No. You'd be surprised. Some people, they, you know, whether they're coming from Jehovah's Witness backgrounds or maybe even coming from Muslim backgrounds, they don't understand the Trinity. Are you following me? They don't understand. So don't assume that everyone understands the Trinity. If you assume that, you're making a big mistake. A lot of people who come from Muslim backgrounds just know of God as far as Allah, and they don't understand the Trinity. So this is an extra I'm going to give to you right now. Okay, this is just some stuff for you to know. When someone, if you were to do this study on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you start saying, you know, John 3:34 talks about Jesus was given the Spirit in
full measure,
right? Revised Standard Version. And we say there's three measures of the Holy Spirit. Well, why is that? Well, we see a lot of what God does in threes. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Father is not the Son. The Son is not the Holy Spirit, but yet they're all God. Are you following me? Same way, H2O, water vapor, is not ice. Ice is not liquid, but yet it's all H2O. Right? Three measures of the same thing. In the same way now, oh, by the way, let me get back to the Trinity. I said I was going to give you some nuggets here. Let me just tell you this real quick. I'll just give you these scriptures, and this is for you. I won't test you on this, but this is good for you to know. When it comes to the Trinity, the first key there is looking at Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Where God says, let us make man in our own image.
Yes.
Right? Elohim, plural actually. But yet it's one God. Let us make man in our own image. So what does let us mean? Right? Well, if you look at the scriptures, Jesus talks about this. Talks about, essentially, the word Trinity is not in the Bible. Just how the word Bible is actually not in the Bible. It's a referring to the Godhead. Are you with me here?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, in the same way, when you look at in John 14, verse 26, Jesus is speaking about the Holy Spirit, and he says, but the Counselor, capital C, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So there you see Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit mentioned, right?
Yeah.
In John 15, verse 26, we see a similar thing. It says in verse 26, when the Counselor comes, who I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. Again, Jesus, Holy Spirit, the Father. But you really see it in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Where in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, at the end of it, Paul is writing, and at the last verse of chapter of 2 Corinthians, he says, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, he says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Do you see that? 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Three in one. You see it again in 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, it says, talking to God's elect, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, it says, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by his blood. Do you see that there?
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome. That one I really like. Because you see all the different measures right there. And so, in a lot of ways, if you were to kind of break it down, it's like God the Creator, Jesus the Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit the Sustainer. In a lot of ways. But it's pretty incredible. There's actually a book written about that. And of course, when we read Matthew 28, what do we see? Right? It says it right there. Therefore, verse 19, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and
the Holy Spirit.
Okay. So, but again, don't assume that people understand the Trinity. You might need to do a quick little study just to make sure they get it. Are you with me here, guys? And so now when you go through that, you understand the Father is not the Son. The Son is not the Holy Spirit, but yet they're all God. In the same way you understand with water. Well, now, guess what? We see the same thing with the Holy Spirit. You have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in you that you receive at where?
Baptism.
At baptism. You receive the forgiveness of sins and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, right? Which does what? According to Romans 8, what does it do?
Helps
you to live a righteous life and will also raise you from the dead. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't rise from the dead. Oops, right? Very, very important. Number two, baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, now this is the Holy Spirit that came what? On them, right? This is where you had what? Power from on high. They saw tongues of fire. They saw it. Tongues of fire that came to rest on them, right? And so, what was the whole point here? Remember now the characteristics. It was a promise, not a command, right? And also, we see that it was a prediction from Joel. We saw in Acts 2:17, came without warning, languages. And the whole point is to start the church. To show people that, wow, the Gentiles could also be part of God's kingdom, in addition to the Jews. Very important stuff. So, remember, then these languages, as we're going to see today, or tongues, are also part of the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit, which we're going to study out. So, this is where we're going back to today. This one. Now, what's really interesting is that this is in you, this is on you, and we're going to see how the miraculous gifts worked through the apostles to the people they touched. You're going to see here. Let's start first in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to read here in verse 8 to 10. Now again, not every church had the miraculous gifts. It's only the ones that the apostles were able to go to. And we'll talk about that more in just a moment. They were worked by the apostles and those they laid their hands on, and they couldn't be passed on. And we're going to see why. Because this is important, guys. My hypothesis I put before you today, as you teach the study, you're essentially putting out a hypothesis. Your hypothesis is, are the miraculous gifts still present today? We already saw the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Is it present today?
No.
Right? Now that's big for some people, because a lot of people are what? They're praying for this. Right here in Nigeria, millions of people are praying for this.
Yeah.
Not realizing that in the Bible, you see none of that. Correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So now we have to see, are these miraculous gifts present today or not? That is our hypothesis, right? Okay, well, why do we need to have these miraculous gifts? I believe, you're going to see in the scriptures, for people to have faith, for people to mature in the faith until the Bible could be canonized and come together. And you're going to see whether this hypothesis is true. Let's go back over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now again, this is written to the church in Corinth. And these guys had the miraculous gifts already. The question now is how they were using them. This is written to correct them, not to direct them. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 8, the Bible reads, to one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, miraculous wisdom. To another the message of knowledge, again, miraculous knowledge, by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith. Now, is this just regular faith?
No.
No, this is miraculous faith. Are you with me here? By the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing. by that one Spirit, to another, miraculous powers, right? Miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still, to another, the interpretation of the tongues. So what do we see here? We see 9 different miraculous gifts in the church here in Corinth. And so the question is, well, how were these gifts given? How were they passed along, right? Are they still present today? Well, it's interesting. In Mark chapter 16, let's take a look there. Jesus now talks about this as well. And he says here in Mark chapter 16, let's start from verse 15. It actually says, Mark 16, verse 15, he said to them, "Go into all the world, preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They'll speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. When they place their hands on sick people, they will get well." All right. Well, if that is the case, who's ready to drink some Drano? Because if you believe, according to this, if the miraculous gifts are still present today, that means that if you believe and you're good to go, you should be able to take up a poisonous snake.
That's right.
Let it bite you, and you're good to go. Now, you know the funny thing is? It's been tried. A Kenyan pastor did that to his congregation, and it bit him, and he died.
In Nigeria.
Yeah, I'm sure. And it happened in Nigeria, too.
Yeah, a
so-called prophet. He went into, oh, I heard about that. The lion's den. He thought it was Daniel.
Yes.
Now, of course, their defense to that, hang on. Their defense to that is that, oh, well, he didn't have enough faith. That's how they defend it. Okay, so according to this, some will drink poison and not die. You want to try it? Let's see how strong your faith is. According to this, no, I do not condone trying this at all. I just want to make that clear from the pulpit. But sadly, because of the ignorance and misteaching, people have died. People have died because false prophets have come up here telling them that this stuff is still present today. Now, what's interesting here, because you can't pick one and not pick the other.
Absolutely.
You can't say, oh, okay, I can drive out demons, but I can't drink poison. I can speak in new tongues, but I can't pick up the snake. I mean, you want to pick and choose now? This is interesting, guys. And so, again, the question, how do we transition to the next part here? Well, the key thing is, are the gifts still present today? The only way the gifts could be still present today is if they were passed on by the laying on of hands. Are you with me here?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the way this study does this, it's interesting. But I also want, as I have interesting ways of teaching this too that I think is very, very helpful. Because a lot of people will say, well, how do I know who got the miraculous gifts? Right? Hold your spot here. Turn over to Luke chapter 9. Having taught this study umpteen times, I can tell you that it's very important to talk about how the miraculous gifts were given. Because some people actually say, oh, the miraculous gifts were given at Pentecost. Which is not true. That is not true. In Luke chapter 9, take a look in verse 1. This is important. In Luke chapter 9, verse 1, look at what the Bible says here. When Jesus had called the 12 together, who did he call together?
12.
And he gave them power and authority to drive out demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Wow. That's interesting, isn't it?
Wow.
That's very interesting. Now, look down in verse 6. So they set out and went from village to village, preaching the gospel and healing people in their church if they come?
No,
that's not what it says. It says they sent out, went from village to village, preaching the gospel and healing people everywhere. So if you claim to be an apostle,
That's right.
Are you with me? If you claim to be an apostle, then, I mean, according to the scriptures here, you should be going everywhere trying to heal people if you have to. You should not be saying, come to my church. You have to come to my church to be healed. Biblically, they should be out there healing people. I mean, otherwise, wouldn't you think it's pretty selfish?
Yeah.
To have the power to heal, to say you have all this stuff to drive out demons, cure diseases, and yet you sit in your little church home and wait for people to come to you.
Yeah.
Are you with me here, guys? You see, you gotta know your Bible.
Absolutely.
You gotta know your Bible. And then, this is just a little, this is a little mini study within the study I'm giving you right now. But then people say, well, how do I, but I am an apostle, I have the gifts. Okay, well then, you take it another way. Turn over to Acts. And you say, okay, well, what are the characteristics for an apostle? Because biblically, what are the characteristics to be an apostle? This is just a little mini study within the study. Hang tight. In Acts chapter 1, the Bible says here, if you look at chapter 1, Matthias is going to be chosen to replace Judas. Why? Because Judas killed himself, correct? Okay. So in Acts chapter 1, you see that Peter goes into explaining how Judas fell. And if you notice here, in Acts chapter 18, it says, with the reward he got for his witness, Judas bought a field. There he fell headlong. His body burst open and all his intestines spilled out. See, a lot of people talk about the hanging. People don't understand. Hanging back then was actually falling. Falling on an impalement, whether it was a sword or something else.
Oh, geez.
So when he fell, because people think, how did all his intestines fall out from being hung on by his neck? Because people don't understand, hanging, the way the Persians hung people, is they put a big pole as if it was like a pencil. Boom. And guess what they do? Take you, drop you on it. That's you hanging. Okay, moving on. Let's go back. So, but guys, says, trust me, you're going to get a lot of nuggets here. Acts chapter 1. The Bible says here, Peter now is talking about Judas being taken out, correct? And he says here in verse 20, for it said, Peter, it is written in the book of Psalms, may his place be deserted, let there be no one to dwell in it, may another take his place of leadership. Therefore, it is necessary, we're going to find out what the characteristics of an apostle is here, to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. Beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us, for one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. Interesting. So what does this mean? This means that to be an apostle, the biblical characteristics is that it was necessary to walk with Jesus for 3 years. And then it goes on, they prayed, they said, okay, which one is going to take over this apostolic ministry? Where Judas left to go where he belongs, and they cast lots, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was added. Interesting, isn't it?
It is.
So, how can people call themselves apostles today? Have you walked with Jesus for 3 years? Tell me, really, how old are you? Now, some people say, hold on, what about Paul? I got a little something for you. 1 Corinthians 15. Now, who is Paul? Paul was an apostle abnormally born. Now, but funny enough, you'll find out that Paul still meets the same requirements.
Yes, exactly.
1 Corinthians 15, we see Paul saying, hey, in verse 7, it says, he appeared to James and then to all the apostles, and last of us, he appeared to me also as the one abnormally born. So we understand Paul was an abnormally born apostle. And remember, did Jesus appear to him?
Yes.
He absolutely did. Now, we understand that. Now, but here's the key scripture, Galatians chapter 1.
Wow.
Galatians chapter 1. See, guys, if you know your Bible, you can rip out any type of false doctrine. Galatians chapter 1. I'm just trying to give you some stuff. I'm trying to prepare you to be able to teach this study and know the questions that are going to come. Galatians chapter 1. Paul was called by God. Yes, he was abnormally born, but you know what? He will fulfill the same characteristics. Galatians 1, look at verse 11. In verse 11, it says, I want you to know, brothers, sisters, that the gospel I preach to you is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. Interesting. For you know, you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church and tried to destroy it. I was advanced in Judaism beyond many Jews of my own age, was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who set me apart from birth, called me to his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me so that I might preach among the Gentiles, I did not consult any man, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was. But I went immediately into Arabia and later returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years. Oh! I wonder what he was doing for 3 years. Most scholars believe that's where he's walking with the Lord. After 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Peter and stay with him 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God that what I'm writing you is no lie. So what do you see? The Apostle Paul, even though he was abnormally born, still actually fulfills the requirements of an apostle. So what do we see? This is just little nuggets for you to be able to be equipped to answer. So now let's get back here and let's talk about this whole concept of this laying out of hands. Because again, the transition here from the first two scriptures is, are the gifts still present today? Well, the only way they could be is if they were passed on. I mean, that's the only way. It would have to be passed on through someone, right? So there are different types of laying on of hands. Funny enough, it talks about number one was a blessing. Now, this is interesting. If you turn over to Acts 13, in Acts 13, this right here, from your, funny enough, that's why I pointed out, I gave you Acts 13 in the quiz today. In Acts 13, we see here that one type of laying on of hands was not miraculous. It was just a blessing. It was just a blessing. Are you with me here? Okay, so here in Acts 13, it says, in the church in Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simon called Niger, he was a black guy, right? Lucius of Cyrene, Manan, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, he was a rich guy, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Lord, Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Wow. So right here, you see more of a blessing, right? It's like a father blessing his son, right? My son is about to go off to Unilag. Put my hands on him. I bless him, my son.
Bless the Lord.
I hope it goes well, my son. Stay away from those temptresses. Right? It's a blessing, right? I put my hand on to bless his time at Unilag.
Amen.
There were no miraculous gifts passed on here, right?
Yes.
Okay, this is important. Then you have this whole concept of healing. Now, yeah, they were healing. This is really cool here because, as you know, in Acts 9, Ananias healed Paul, right? Right after he was blinded by who? By Jesus, right? I gave you this in the last quiz last week. Who healed Paul's blindness? Who baptized him, right? Ananias. There's your answer, right? And also, in Acts 28, verse 8, Paul actually goes to heal Publius' father. But what's really interesting here in Acts 28, verse 8, in that chapter 2, Paul, as he goes to heal him, guess what happens? He gets bit by a snake. And guess what? He shook it off, right? In Acts chapter 28, right, it says here, in verse 1, once safely on shore, we found out the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, this man must be a murderer, for though he escaped from the sea, justice not allowed him to live. People are superstitious, aren't they? Justice has found you. Verse 5. Hang on. But Paul shook licked the snake off in the fire and suffered no ill effects. See, when you have the miraculous gifts, you're good. The people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead. But after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. They are pretty fickle, aren't they? There was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us to his home and for 3 days entertained us hospitably. His father was sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. Paul went in to see him and after prayer, placed his hands on him and healed him. So you see how Paul had all these different characteristics, didn't he? Snake, boom, no problem. He was an apostle. He had that. And so, you see how the laying out of hands, blessing for healing. Now, this is important too, because as I said, the blessing part, a father kind of sending his son off to college, putting his hand on him. In this case, when it came to healing, this is not, okay, God, we're praying for healing. That's not what this is. Okay? This specifically is that a man who had the miraculous gifts could choose who, for someone, he miraculously, he could literally choose, I want to miraculously heal you.
Yeah, that's right.
Are you with me here?
That's right.
That is what was going on. What? Right? Now, we can't do that today. Although we can pray for healing,
yes,
and for God's sovereignty to heal, right. I'm not saying I have the miraculous power to say, son, I heal you. Come on, have your hypertension. I heal you. Have your diabetes. I heal you. That's a whole nother story.
Yes.
Now, we can pray for God's power to work a miracle.
Yes.
But I myself am not the miracle to now go and specifically go and say, I will heal you by my power.
Right.
Totally different. Are you following me? Because
yeah.
You have to understand, God does miracles today. I'm not saying God doesn't do miracles. The question is whether I have the miraculous power to do the miracles. By my will. That's a totally different story. Okay. And so now, we talk about the passing of the gifts. Now, I already talked to you that the miraculous gifts were passed on by laying on of hands. We'll see that in Acts 8. It puts it here in Acts 8, verse 18. And in some ways, you're kind of going there, and then you got to come back later. And so, you know, in a lot of ways, you know, I kind of, the scripture is awesome. The study is awesome. I'm just telling you how different ways you can do it. Because again, each person is going to be different. I like 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Because, you know how I talk about the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit through you? Remember? In you. On you. The way you remember it. Through you. Right? Here, Paul, God worked through Paul. Because here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul actually gave Timothy some miraculous gifts. Take a look at this. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, it says, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands." You like that right there? It's right there. Right? And so, the question now is, could the people pass on the gifts? Because that's the question. That's the question. Could people now pass on the gifts? We know the apostles had the power to give the miraculous gifts. But now could those people who had it now also say, okay, I'm going to give it to somebody else? Well, let's find out. Remember, you have to prove it from the scriptures.
Yeah.
Right? We're not here to tell you our interpretation. We're here to show you in the Bible.
Right.
Acts chapter 6, verse 1.
Lay on out.
Now, what's cool here is that we see an issue. In Acts chapter 6, there's a problem with people getting fed. In chapter 6, verse 1, the Bible reads, "In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food." So can you imagine, right? After 3,000 are baptized in Acts chapter 2, you have Grecian Jews, you have Hebraic Jews, and the Grecian Jews were getting overlooked, right? Pretty intense stuff going on. But literally, to help all these people, they were handing out food daily. Can you imagine that? You leave everything behind, and now you're reliant on people handing out food to you daily. And you're not going anywhere. Verse 2. So the 12... Oh, I'm sorry. What is this? So the 12... gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables." There's priorities for things. "Brothers, choose 7 men among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. So these are people who are disciples, correct?
Yeah.
Full of the Spirit means they're not full of themselves.
Right.
They're walking in step with the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, right? These guys are strong brothers. Knowing to be full of the Spirit and wisdom, we'll turn this responsibility over to them and we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word. This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Also, Philip, remember him, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles who prayed and laid their hands on them. So, the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly. See, before in verse 1 it was increasing. Now it is what? Increasing rapidly. And a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Wow. Jewish priests are now becoming Christians. Right? You got to read to verse 8. Now it says, now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. Well, he wasn't doing that before. So how come he's doing it now? Because the apostles laid their hands on him to give those miraculous gifts. Now, what's interesting here, this doesn't prove my hypothesis, but it is a good indicator here of what's going on. And so the question is, what happens next? Well, in chapter 7, right, Stephen now goes and preaches to the Sanhedrin.
Right.
And what happens? They stone Stephen. He dies. Martyrdom in the Bible, right? But then, and Saul was there giving approval to his death. Well, now let's pick it up in chapter 8. See, it's important to kind of give that explanation as you're getting into chapter 8 now. You want to make sure that all the transitions are smooth, right? So, they have these miraculous gifts. These guys are doing great things. They're not just feeding people, they're preaching. You notice that?
Yeah.
These guys didn't just get selected to just hand out stuff. These guys got selected because they were strong disciples. And they got the gifts to be able to encourage and equip the church. So much so that now Stephen goes off and starts laying out the whole Sanhedrin. That's what happens when he gets the miraculous gifts, right? Then he gets killed by them, right? And then in chapter 8, it says here, on that day a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Remember that. All except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen, mourned deeply for him, but Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women. He didn't discriminate and put them in prison. Verse 4. Those who've been scattered were sad and depressed and hid in their homes, right?
No.
Is that what it says?
No.
Are you following along?
Yes.
You should have your Bible open. Don't just look at me. Read your Bible. Right? It says they preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. Okay, stop. Which Philip is this? Is this Philip the apostle? Or Philip one of the seven? How do you know? Because the apostles were still in Jerusalem. Uh-huh. You see how you have to explain all that, guys? And this is also very important to explain. Because if you don't explain this now, then later, if people think that Philip's an apostle, they're going to be confused. I'll explain why in a moment. Verse 6. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. Wow. So the question is, what is the purpose of these miraculous gifts? I believe the hypothesis to be able to confirm the spoken message, which we're going to get into later. Man, I could do like a part 2 of this study, man. It'll be awesome. Oh my gosh. Okay, so the key thing here is that they saw these miraculous signs, and now they all pay close attention, right? With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many. And many paralytics and cripples were healed. So there was what? Great joy in that city. Is there great joy in Lagos?
Yeah!
There's great joy right here. But is there great joy in Lagos?
No.
Why not with all these apostles? I mean, think about it. I mean, Philip wasn't even an apostle. He was just the guy that got his land laid on. But because he had the miraculous gifts, what was he doing? Evil spirits coming out, shrieks, paralytics, cripples healed. There's great joy with all the apostles that claim to be in Lagos. Where is the great joy?
Come on, speak it out, bro.
Speak it out.
Rich.
Nonsense.
Go there.
Verse 9. No, see, this is the stuff you got to nail.
Yeah.
You got to ask these questions to people.
Yeah.
You got to point this stuff out.
Come on,
bro.
Because if they claim to be true, then why isn't it happening? Why aren't all these people here? Why isn't there great joy? And you know what? Even if you had some kind of demonic power that enables you to be able to do this, are you that selfish to stay in your church building and do nothing to help anybody else? Verse 9. Now for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city.
Wow.
And amazed all the people of Lagos. Sorry, Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great.
Come on.
And all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention. See, people love attention, don't they?
Yeah.
And exclaimed, "This man is the divine power known as the Great Power." They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his magic.
Wow.
There are more magicians than ministers in Lagos.
That's right.
But when they believed Philip, as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized. Both men and women for what? The forgiveness of their sins and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Simon himself, the sorcerer himself, believed and was baptized. And he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. Verse 14. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. Who's Peter and John?
The apostles.
Apostles. When they arrived, now this is what's really interesting now. Even them, the people were still weren't quite sure how they got this stuff. Take a look at this. When Peter and John arrived, it says they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Even the apostles were like, maybe we should pray. Because they're in Samaria now.
Yeah.
It had happened to the Jews in Acts 2. It hadn't happened to the Gentiles in Acts 10 yet. This is Acts 8 for the Samaritans, the half-breeds. And so they're wondering, well, I don't know. Will it happen? Will it happen again for the Samaritans? But when they prayed, did it come?
No.
Hey. Wow.
Pray for the Holy Spirit. Did it come?
No.
Power from on high, on top of the heads, speaking in tongues.
No.
No, not in there. Did you catch that? Okay. So they have been baptized for what? For the forgiveness of sins and the dwelling of the Holy Spirit. They're saved. But now they're all by themselves. They're just, how do we encourage them? How do we mature these young Christians in the faith with no New Testament Bible around? Verse 17. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them and they received
the Holy Spirit.
Well, what measure of the Holy Spirit did they receive? Because we know it's not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We know what the five characteristics are already with that.
Yeah.
We didn't see that even though they prayed for it.
Yeah.
We know it's not the indwelling, because when they got baptized, that's when they got that.
Yes.
What did they get? The miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit. Are you following?
Yes.
Verse 18. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands. The miraculous gifts of the Spirit.
Yeah.
We're given the laying on of the apostles' hands. He offered them money and said, Give me also this ability, so that everyone in whom I lay my hands on may receive the Holy Spirit. Peter answered, "May your money perish with you." Because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive you, because I won't, for having such a thought in your heart. I'm not saying he said that. Perhaps he will forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you're full of bitterness and captive to sin. You know what's powerful right here? This is, mind you guys, this is a young disciple. You know, you think you have a harsh disciple. Peter laid him out. Now, mind you, he says, "May your money perish with you." The way you're going, you're going to perish. Wow. But what does he say here? "I see you're full of bitterness and captive to sin." How did he figure all that out? Because obviously, maybe he knew, I don't know, had miraculous wisdom. But he just looked at it, because think about it. Before he was the big man. I am Simon the sorcerer. I had the attention. I had the power. I was the divine power. Now these apostles come around, and I'm following Peter or Philip, and he's doing all the stuff that blew my stuff away. I was just an illusionist. This is the real thing. Are you with me? And so he was probably bitter that people were following the truth and not him. And that's what happens when we do it today. When we call people out in their sin and false doctrine, people are going to get bitter. Why are you people coming to this church? Why are my people coming to you? Oh, they're your people now. I thought they were God's people. Verse 24. Then Simon answered, "Pray to the Lord for me so that nothing you have said may happen to me." You gotta go there with people. If you're too soft, they won't break. The harder the nut, the harder you crack it. When they had testified and proclaimed the word of the Lord, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages. Wow. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit didn't come down on the Samaritans. Yeah. Came down for the Jews and the Gentiles. And God said, I mean, it's, you know, black and white there. So you're all good, okay? So why is this important, guys? Because right here, you have to make the key point that Philip, again, what was he? Was he an apostle? No. Why is this significant? Because when Peter and John came and gave the miraculous gifts to those folks there, Simon saw it and he said, "Wow, the Spirit was given the laying on of the apostles' hands." And then he asked them for it. If the gifts, the whole point of this is, if the gifts could be passed on, why didn't he go to Philip? If the gifts could be passed on, why didn't he say, "Philip, hey you, give it to me. Peter and John will give it to me. So you, give it to me." They couldn't. So that tells you right there that the gifts couldn't be passed on after they were given. Now let me be very clear. If I am an apostle and Good Hope, I give the gifts of healing to Good Hope. Good Hope, I give the gifts of healing.
Come on, Good Hope.
Woo! Right. Now Good Hope goes and heals Bolaji. Right? He's not healed, Bolaji. Now, can Guru now transfer the gift of healing to him?
No.
So he can heal. But once Guru is dead,
That's it.
Are you with me here? This is very important. The key thing to nail right here is that Simon didn't ask Philip for the gifts because he couldn't pass them on. And so Simon was rebuked for having the wrong motivation. If you go down to Acts chapter 19 now, what's powerful about this, is that you see the same thing here in Acts chapter 19. Paul's going to find these disciples in Ephesus who didn't even know what the Holy Spirit was. They were, I guess, disciples of John the Baptist, probably. And so here it says, in verse 1 of Acts 19, when Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior, arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we haven't even heard there was a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked, "Then what baptism did you receive?" See, very important. Baptism was always associated with belief. It was always associated with belief. This is very important. People say, "Oh, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" Belief, actually, as the word in the Greek, is a synecdoche, which means that it's a process of things. Right?
Come on.
If I say that you've graduated from university, I don't say you graduated from first level, second level, third level, fourth level. All that is implied.
Right. Yeah.
Do you understand? And so when someone, back then, when you say believe, all that was implied. Baptism was implied. So it goes on here. He says in verse 6, "So what baptism did you receive?" John's baptism, they replied. Paul said John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So what for what? The forgiveness of sin and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Then it says in verse 6, when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came what? On them. You see it? Now what's interesting here is that, it's not here. Not here. What is this? Ah, I caught you, didn't I?
Yes.
I caught you. Because people say, "Ah, did the Holy Spirit come down on them?" No. It just says, the Holy Spirit came on them, they spoke in tongues and prophesied. So now, they had... Right, spoken, tongues, and
prophesied. Wow.
See, we have to understand something. The baptism of the Holy Spirit had some of these things associated.
Yes.
But don't get it confused. Because remember, sometimes people are like, no, just because if you see tongues and prophecy, that doesn't mean that's baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's still miraculous gifts. Do you understand what I'm saying here?
Yeah, this is the apostles.
And so, it's very important to be careful here, because every time you saw the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it was what? Power from on high.
Not the apostles' hands.
When you see laying on the apostles' hands, what are we talking about? Are you with me? Okay. So don't be caught up by the little on right there. Okay. All right, guys. So now, let's start to close on out. Key thing here, in the general observation part, as I said, Paul's an apostle. I already explained all that for you. But do you see how explaining this earlier actually helps you now?
Yes.
Because it's like, well, how come Paul's an apostle? Right? I mean, you know it, but how come? Right? And so, as you see here, they're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, receive forgiveness of sins, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, then they receive the miraculous gifts of prophecy, speaking in tongues by the laying on of Paul's hands. Let's go on up. Some key things to understand here, guys. Now, I want to give you just a little bit extra scriptures here to help you. The purpose of the miraculous gifts. This is very important. Two key things. Well, let's just hit this first. We already hit this, right? Apostles have passed on the gifts with their apostles. The apostles possessed the ability to perform miracles. Luke 9:1, they were given to them by Jesus. At Luke 9:1, they did not get the gifts, right, at Pentecost.
Yes.
No. Go back. So just a little. Or not. Just want to make sure. Okay, that's important. All right? It's not like Pentecost happened, oh, now we have the gifts. No, they had it from Luke 9.
Yeah.
Very important. 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, very important here to see, is not the directness on how to receive tongues, because the church already had them, but they were correctives on how to use them. Because everyone was speaking at the same time and misusing the tongues. And so, take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Bible reads here, verse 28. It says, in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Verse 29. Are all apostles?
No.
Are all prophets?
No.
Are all teachers?
No.
Do all work miracles?
No.
Do all have gifts of healing?
No.
Do all speak in tongues?
No.
Do all interpret?
No.
Okay, so what do we see here? What do we see here? We see a direct contradiction to the Pentecostal church.
That's right.
Because the Pentecostal church says, to be a Christian, you have to speak in tongues.
Yeah.
You must speak in tongues. And if you don't speak in tongues, something's wrong with you.
That's right.
Isn't that what the Pentecostal church says?
Yeah.
If you don't speak in tongues, you're not mature enough.
Yeah.
We'll pray for you.
You're not saved, you don't have the Holy Spirit.
You're not saved, you don't have the Holy Spirit. And so this is totally contrary to Scripture, guys.
Yeah.
People don't understand the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
Now, again, 1 Corinthians 13, this is the major Scripture you got to nail. 1 Corinthians 13, this is huge because now, you look at this, it says, starting in verse 8, in the second part there, it says, but where there are prophecies, they will
cease.
Where there are tongues, they will be still. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Wow. They don't have it all. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. So what's the perfection? There's only two things that are perfect. Jesus and the Word of God. Psalms 19. The Word of the Lord is perfect. Right? Two things. And we know it's not Jesus. Why? Because the word perfection here is the neuter gender, not the masculine gender.
Yeah.
Jesus was not neuter. He was masculine. Very clear. All throughout the Scriptures. Perfection is neuter gender. So when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. So what was the whole point here? The whole point is to understand that the miraculous gifts were to confirm the spoken word. Let me explain to you. And this is a part that I like to stick in right here. Let me show you. Turn back to Acts 14. This is important, guys. Because throughout the Bible, you'll see that the miraculous gifts were given for a specific purpose. To confirm the spoken message. Because they didn't have the New Testament Bible. Are you with me here? In Acts chapter 14, we read this before, where it talks about Paul and Barnabas spoke so effectively that many Jews believed, right?
Yes.
And then it says, in verse 3, so Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there, speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to do miraculous signs and wonders. The whole goal of these miraculous gifts was to confirm the spoken word of God. So people would know, wow, that non-believers would know, wow, this is from God. This is not from man. That's why they were able to do all this stuff. Even Jesus in Mark chapter 16 talks about this. Look at Mark chapter 16, verse 20. It says, then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. Are you following me?
No.
Have I lost you?
No.
And so the whole point here was to confirm the spoken message. Because they didn't have the written message. They didn't have this to encourage each other. And so the key thing here, guys, is understanding that 1 Corinthians 13 says that when perfection comes, all that would disappear. Well, the first canon of the New Testament occurred about maybe 180 AD. Which would make sense. You know why? Because in 180 AD, all the apostles would probably be, well, obviously would be dead. And the people they gave the miraculous gifts to would also be dead. 96 AD is when Revelation was written. By who? The apostle John. Not to mention, so he died probably within a couple of years. He's very old. And then the guys that he gave it to would probably die out. So literally, the first canonization of the Bible, 180 AD, came around the exact time when, by God's grace, not only the apostles died, but the guys that gave the miraculous gifts to died out. You think that's a coincidence?
No.
Not to mention, none of the second century scholars talk about miraculous gifts. That's just history. They don't talk about it. Second century, right? They don't talk about it. So how come it just sprung into action today all of a sudden?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of magicians around.
Right.
Trying to make money.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to deceive you.
Mm-hmm.
And so what do we see here? Few things to understand. 1 Corinthians 14, 20 to 22. This is another great passage here. This is huge. Let's read this together. And then we're going to close out. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 20. Brothers, sisters, stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants. But in your thinking, be adults. In the law, it is written, through men of strange tongues and through the lips of foreigners, I will speak to this people. But even then, they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Tongues, then, are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers. For them to see, whoa, something's going on here. Prophecy, however, is for believers, not for unbelievers. So what does that mean? The tongues were given so that unbelievers were like, what is going on here? This is amazing. But the prophecy, how are they able to understand each other? This is incredible. Prophecy, however, was for the believers. Why? Because that's the very words of God. To edify the church. So what do you see? The tongues were only to be used to bring non-believers to faith.
Yeah.
Like in Acts chapter 2. Right? That stuff happened from on high. They started speaking in tongues. People were like, what is going on? Then Peter says, hey, let me preach to you. And now bring you to faith. And then we see it's also to edify the Christians and strengthen their faith. Prophecy. Right? When I read the Bible to you, I edify you. I strengthen you. Imagine if I didn't have the Bible and I had the and of course, basically in that time, I would say if I had the miraculous gifts of prophecy, I could preach the word of God as if I'm preaching the Bible.
That's right.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah, sure.
Can you imagine that?
Mm-hmm.
I just started quoting 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus.
Wow, thank you, brother. That's encouraging. Thank you for that word today.
And that's the very word of God. That is what I was saying. But, you know, I was, if I had the Bible in front of me, okay, now I can read it. Are you with me here?
Yeah.
And again, for people who want to talk about prophecy, remember now, if people want to add prophecy to God's word, that means the Bible doesn't thoroughly equip us for every good work. 2 Timothy 3. So now they're disobeying the Bible. Again, Pentecostals, they want to add prophecy. They want to add miraculous gifts. Catholics, they want to add the catechism. Mormons, they want to add the Pearl of Great Price and the Book of Mormon. Everyone wants to add stuff to the Bible. And so, guys, this is key here. It was to confirm a spoken word and to help the non-believers to believe. But keep reading here. It's pretty cool. I actually like this part. Look at what he says in verse 23. So if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues, and some who do not understand or some unbelievers come in, will they not say that you're out of your mind? Oh, yeah. That's what it says. Right? But if an unbeliever or someone who does not understand comes in while everyone is prophesying, he'll be convinced by all that he's a sinner. And will be judged by all, and the secrets of his heart will be laid bare, so he'll fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you.
Wow.
See, the Bible is very clear, guys. The scriptures are very clear. It's people who get into their emotional nonsense that takes it totally out of control.
Yeah.
And so, the question today is, are the miraculous gifts still present today?
No.
How could they be passed down? It could only be passed by the apostles laying on of hands.
Yeah.
We see that it couldn't happen any other way.
Yeah.
Right? It's very simple. The Bible says so. But look at this now. 2 Thessalonians 2, 9-12. This is an important scripture to hit.
Yeah.
And then I got to send you guys home. Take a look at this. What does the Bible say in verse 9? The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders. Counterfeit. What does counterfeit mean?
Fake.
It looks real though.
Ah.
Looks real.
Okay. I have 500 naira. Shall we test it? Now, if I gave you this 500 naira, but I didn't have this little silver strip down going down saying 500, 500. And I just held it like this. Hey, bro, you want 500 naira?
Yeah, right.
You would want it, wouldn't you?
That's right.
Yes. So when these guys out there today do their counterfeit miracles, wonders, and signs. Oh, does it look good?
It does.
Oh, I'm healed. I can see. I can see. What color is my shirt? What color is my tie? How could you have been born blind and know the colors? Okay, it goes on here, guys. It says, in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders, and in every part of evil that deceives those who are?
Perish.
May your money perish with you.
Hey!
Did you catch that right there? They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion. Allows a powerful delusion to come so they will believe the lie. And so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth, but have delighted in wickedness. Do you understand there are people perishing today?
Yes.
Because they don't want to accept what I'm talking about right now. What the Bible laid out. Well, last things here, as you can see, speaking in quote-unquote tongues is not new to religion. People say, I can speak in tongues. Guess what? The Muslims do it too.
Yeah.
The Catholics do it.
Yeah.
Even the Mormons do it. So it doesn't make you special. And all this, what? When people get tired and bored of their religion, I was shocked. I did not know Catholics actually do this until I came here.
Yes.
And I'm like, seriously? The charismatic Catholic movement. I saw it on a bus. I'm like, charismatic Catholic?
Yeah.
When did the Catholics become charismatic?
This is
a new teaching. And remember now, this is called ecstatic utterances, non-understandable sounds and fragments of speech. Because, you know, if you ask yourself, you're like, okay, well, if you were to take what you just did, Mr. Man, who's just doing those tongues, put that in a language, you know, computer. But no, it's the tongues of angels. Who are you to say it's the tongue of angels? And how would you know it's the tongue of angels?
Exactly.
Did an angel come to you and tell you, this is how I speak? Not to mention, the Bible talks about first to be filled with the Spirit without speaking in tongues, Ephesians 5. Oh, and by the way, just in case you were wondering, Jesus never spoke in tongues.
Amen!
Jesus never spoke in tongues. No, I'm just... Oh, and by the way, just in case you're wondering, Matthew 27, all right, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani? That's not tongues. That's not ecstatic utterances. I just want to make sure that's clear. People say, tongues on the cross. I'm like, you. What is that?
Aramaic.
Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means my God. It even says, it interpreted it. It says, my God, my God. Why have you forsaken me? Are you with me here?
Yes.
Was that speaking in English? Okay, guys, let's close here. As we close, be very, very clear, guys. What's interesting about all this is that, and I want you to make sure you get this. Go back up for a quick second.
Come on.
1 Corinthians here, sorry. Yes, this part right here, where it says, tongues are for who? Unbelievers. Prophecy is for believers. You know what the Pentecostal church does? They switch them. They say, tongues are for believers. You have to speak in tongues to be saved.
Yes.
And prophecy is for unbelievers.
Yes.
And so, guys, there's a lot here. I mean, you can do all... I'm not going to give you a study where give me all this stuff in order. No. Sometimes, depending upon the person you're studying with, you may have to go at this from several different angles.
Yeah.
But this is the heart of this study. And I think the key thing you have to remember is I'm having a little fun with you because we're disciples, but... And welcome to our guests as well. But I think you have to remember, do this with gentleness and respect.
Yeah.
Because there are people who are very sincere about what they believe. But sincerity does not equal truth. And you can be sincerely wrong.
All the time.
That's why people get lost all the time. Because they sincerely know where they think they know where they're going. And they don't know where they're going. Amen, guys.
Amen.
I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you. You need to know these two studies well. So well, you can start adding in scriptures and start developing your own study to meet the need. Remember, guys, this stuff is a skeleton. I'm not saying, okay, my pastor just said, no, okay. I'm just telling you, you want to learn the study. But as you learn it, as you master it, you learn how to even fill in the gaps. Because you've heard it with so many different people and dealt with so many situations. Why am I able to bring up all these other scriptures? Because I know, having studied loudly, what about this? Are you with me here, guys? Let's master this. So, now, for the quiz next week, what do you need to know?
Nine gifts.
Here's what I am telling you right now. You need to know the study.
Okay.
However, couple things here. You need to know without a doubt what the miraculous gifts are. And it's interesting to know that miraculous faith, wisdom, I mean, these were miraculous things. And that's why they're miraculous, because they didn't have the Bible. Because remember, it's the Bible that gives us faith, right?
Yeah.
But they had faith without having the scriptures.
Wow. That's awesome.
They had wisdom enough without having the scriptures.
Wow.
That's what's so powerful.
That's really cool.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
And so, knowing that, yes, go on up here, bro. You definitely have got to be able to explain why the miraculous gifts can't be passed on. You have to be able to know Acts 8:18. You have to know the scriptures that nail that. Let's see. I can probably bet that I'm going to ask you, I may say, with this characteristic, which measure of the Holy Spirit is it? What measure of the Holy Spirit is it associated with? So if I say, I'm trying to think of how to say it. Yeah, I can say Acts 2:30. What measure of the Holy Spirit is this associated with? So you can kind of break it on down. You definitely need to know this. This, big time. Oh, this is good to know. Let's just know the study, okay? Just know the study. If you know everything, you'll be fine. And then, so know the study, and then know chapters
20 to 28.
Correct. So you need to know 20 to 28 for next week. Amen. And then, of course, the memory scriptures. Any questions, comments before we close? Yeah, yes. Question. Sorry, one more time.
The one that talks about
offerings,
I think you're
going to explain
that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a question I
had. Hang on 1 second. We have a question. Oh, can you turn that back on, bro? The thing is, everything, immediately you can feel the humidity. Sorry, the scripture is what?
Corinthians 14, 2.
Verse 2? Okay, so you're asking now about what now? Well, the Bible can't contradict itself. Because in Acts chapter 14, it talks about tongues are a sign not for believers but for unbelievers. So if someone actually happened to be speaking in a language, right? And, I explained this to you last week, didn't I?
Yeah.
I talked about this. So, for example, if you speak evil and you speak English, and instead of, when you're talking to someone, you're speaking in English, but when you want to pray, I want to speak in evil. Why? Because evil is the language of... Is that your heart language? That's the language you really connect yourself with, right? And so... That's totally fine. If you want to speak in Igbo rather than speak in English, that's cool, right? But that's the one that you connect with, right? That's essentially what this is talking about right here. Because it goes on and says, for everyone who speaks in the tongue does not speak to men but to God. Indeed, no one understands. He utters mysteries with his spirit. So people say, so that means that it's ecstatic utterances? No. It just says he utters mysteries in his spirit. You can pray. You ever pray sometimes? You're like... gosh, I don't know. You know, you just, you're struggling, you're trying to figure life out. It doesn't say, chaka like a mama, say mama, sama, waku, sama. That's not what it's saying. And so, but everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening. So here, when it says prophesying, yeah, you are speaking to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. Absolutely. Absolutely. And, because remember, it does correspond with the next scripture. Take a look at it. Tongues then are a sign, not for believers, but for unbelievers, right? Then it says prophecy is for who? The believers, right? So, and the belief, and the prophecy is to edify the Christian, strengthen their needs, right? For their strength and encouragement. So that corresponds. Do you see that? Okay. But then here, when it says speak to men but to God, when the apostles started speaking in tongues, right? And God enabled them to do that, right? So that all the people started what? All the non-believers started what? Gathering around them, right? Remember, it was a sign, right? Now, God enabled them to do that, right? But it wasn't like they were really, I guess the scripture says here, uttering mysteries with his spirit. What's interesting about this right here is that the tongues, when it was used for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, was to inspire people to what? To come and to see that something special is happening, right? When God gave the tongues later, it was still, according to chapter 14, verse 22, a sign for the unbelievers. How so? I wasn't there, so I can't really honestly completely say. But I do know that they were able to speak in languages they didn't study. They were able to speak in languages that they just knew. That was the key. So, it is time, and I need to let you guys go. Amen. Stand up. And anyone who has questions later can come and talk to me. Happy to. Everyone else can go home and get homesick. Love you guys. I know we'll take this stuff on all day. We could ask questions all day. So if you have questions, come see me. But everyone else, you can go home and sleep. Amen. We're going to pray right now. That's why everyone's standing up. All right. Let us pray. Amen, guys. Father God, thank you so much for the privilege of coming before you tonight. Actually, you know what? I've spoken enough. Let's have Brother Balaji pray for us. Let's go, bro.
Amen. Father God, thank you so much for tonight. Father God, for letting me be your
way. Amen.
I pray, Father, that all things God has given you have to give them to heart and them to practice. Father God, that so that when we sit people down, they will see from the scriptures what your word is telling
them. Yes.
Some pastors or what they tell from people,
oh, yes.
What your word God is telling them. So I pray that God, that even as we do this, God, to transform and change so many lives in Lagos. And so that if you get the time where there will be rejoicing in Lagos.
Yes,
I pray God, that as we go home, please take us.
Yes,
God. I pray God, that for all of us that are going to take buses or drive down, please, God, let there be no accident.
Yes, God.
Amen.
Thank you, guys. Have a great night. Oh, Kate, I thought of something too to answer the question. So, if you want more help, I can answer you.
I'm ready. I'm right here.
So, remember now, they've given the miraculous. My brother, good night.
When you assume the word.
So when they do this, right? Because remember, the tongues and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking other languages, I drew in people, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they know what's going on here. In Acts, in 14 verse 2, if people got the miraculous gifts, right? And say they were given the tongues to be able to speak. They're able to speak languages they didn't study before, but now are able to do, right?
They didn't understand.
So what's really convicting here is that a lot of people probably didn't. Thank you, my sister. A lot of people didn't even know. They didn't even know what these languages were. So when they were speaking now, they're like... So imagine if someone just came to you and said, I'm going to give you miraculous gifts. And now you could speak Hausa, Igbo, German, all this stuff. And people, now you're like, wow, I can speak. So I can pray in like German. I can like pray. And so now they're speaking. But and people are like, wow, what's going on? You're uttering mysteries in your spirit. I don't get it. But it was still languages.
Yeah.
Nothing here changes that it was still languages.
I always thought that they themselves could not understand.
It says no one understands him.
Oh.
Look at it. It says, indeed, no one understands him. It doesn't say he doesn't understand.
So why doesn't he interpret it himself? Why doesn't he interpret it himself? I thought they always needed an interpreter, so that's why I thought that the person speaking didn't understand.
No, because here, let's see. I want to get back to the other one. Here, so it is with you. Unless you speak intelligible words with your tongue, how will anyone know you were saying just be speaking it to the air? So here, it's interesting because they were still speaking intelligible words, but people didn't know what it was.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't dribble. It was still intelligible words.
Mm-hmm.
I think the problem was that maybe the people around them didn't understand. And again, these were correctives, not directives.
Yeah.
So they were doing things wrong.
Okay.
But again, honestly, at this point, I don't know exactly what was happening here. What I do know is that the tongue was a language. So if they're speaking in a language that they've just received and people didn't understand what it was, then okay, so that's okay. Amen. To them, if they're uttering mysteries. Right? So if you're speaking Hausa and you give them a miraculous gift, you can speak Hausa, and I'm looking at you like, I don't know what you're saying. But you can understand it, and you're this doesn't change the fact that there's still languages.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying here?
Okay.
This does not change that it was still a language. The problem is because it says tongue,
yeah,
they're like, oh, it's just like, you know, stuff.